than nothing.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Squat Cobbler. This is episode 55, and it is our fourth Prisoner Exchange album. As of the time you're listening to this, our previous discussion was the Ace Frehley solo record, which was Kelly's recommendation. Now it's time for my recommendation, which is Lycia's Ionia album. Kelly, any top-line thoughts before I explain to you why I recommended this?
So, I guess spoiler, I don't know. I enjoyed this album quite a bit, and I appreciate you recommending it because it has not been something that I had any familiarity with at all.
I didn't think you would, and I was a little bit concerned.
I enjoyed it. I went through it independent of any reviews, just kind of took it in myself, took it in a couple times, took copious notes, and it kind of took it in that way. And then as I kind of wrapped everything up, I did go out and kind of poke around a little bit. And I did find, I think it was an All Music review where it says, well, this is mood music if it's the kind of mood you want to be in. And I think it's a pretty good capturing of it. Like I said, I enjoy it, and it definitely kind of sets a tone. It's not the kind of standard thing that I'd go after initially, but I did enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird. So I had heard of Lycia before. So for anyone who doesn't know, they're considered one of the prominent bands of the dark wave music scene. If you're not familiar with dark wave, and you're probably not, because it's not a particularly commercial genre of music, subgenre of music, it's sort of echoey and ethereal in its delivery. I'm not particularly a huge fan of the genre as a whole. I'd heard of Lycia, though, because I was very involved in the goth scene in Philadelphia, which was one of the more prominent ones at the time in terms of our goth club nights and things like that we would have here. And a lot of record labels are either based out of here or did a lot of business through here. So Lycia had come up numerous times through different people. And it wasn't until, I want to say, I was in late high school and a classmate of mine invited me over for a study session. There's air quotes around that for anyone listening to the audio. Before we got down to studying, she asked if I wanted some music on to set the mood, and this is what she put on. And after an afternoon of very vigorous learning, I went out and immediately purchased this album.
So interesting, because while I greatly enjoy this album, I probably wouldn't have had it on the short list of saying this is the heavy studying soundtrack that I would immediately select. It's no Barry White.
Like I said, I'd heard the name before. I wasn't particularly into the music. I knew that this girl was a fan of them. For anyone who may think you've heard the name before, there's a chance you could have, because Lycia, on a couple albums down the line, actually had a radio hit with a song called Pray. Really, never before or after then has dark wave been on mainstream radio that I'm aware of. But the song Pray was sort of a minor radio hit, and it charted in Billboard and all that good stuff. So they got a little bit of exposure that way. And some bigger bands have listed them, like Nine Inch Nails and things like that, have listed them as an influence on them. The reason I chose this specific album, though, is obviously it's the one closest to my heart because I learned a great deal while this was playing in the background. Also, the band, over the course of the next couple albums, starts to shift sonically, and later Lycia material is largely acoustic guitar based. So this is a distinctly different iteration of the band.
Wow. So that's an evolution I would not have anticipated.
Yeah, over the course of the next couple albums, they start to introduce some acoustic guitar elements, and then by their later albums, it's basically acoustic guitar and vocals.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's an interesting evolution, and I still really like those records, but this one's my favorite, the one that got me into the band. It's their second album, and I'm going to be a little bit more careful with my Sherpa duties this time. I know Kelly didn't love my approach to the Von Sherpa-ing, which was my fault. I should have led him through it better, but I spent so much time in the beginning talking about it. I think I spent as much time talking about discovering the album as we did about the whole album, because it's only four tracks. So for this one, we have a little bit more to go through. So on the first song is the title track, Ionia, and it really kind of sonically sets the pace for what you get on this album. There's those sort of like hard industrial style drum loops, washed out distant guitars, and vocals that I would describe as like a strangled whisper. What were your thoughts on this?
So one of the things was the vocals, because particularly on on this track. Strangled vocals is a good way to put it, because I was, you know, kind of my initial set of notes was like to see those pulled out a little bit more in the mix than they are, because they're kind of embedded. They're not as crisp through there, but it's got an epic feel to it. We've mentioned on multiple ones of these shows, I'm a first song guy, and for a while in this album, this was my favorite track. I think it's a great, it sets the mood. It's a really, really good song. Interestingly enough, Mike and I in past podcasts have talked about getting, Mike fully intends to get some Alice Cooper lyrics added to his tattoo canon, has been providing excessive peer pressure to me to kind of join in the fray. And I'm a big Alice fan, but actually what I was surprised by is that this album provided a treasure trove of excellent lyric, you know, when there are lyrics, excellent lyrical tattoo material. And I find myself in decline in the grip of Ionia is a pretty cool line from there. So that's the one thing, when there are a lot of this is ambient, a lot of this is instrumental, but when there are lyrics, there's some like really great moments in lyrics on that. And I thought this was good. It does absolutely set the tone and the motif that kind of runs through this, dark but soaring at the same point on this. And I really enjoyed this song quite a bit. So going into it being kind of unfamiliar overall, when this is the first one I had a chance to consume, I was like, hey, so I'm pretty excited about this.
I remember during my study session when this was initially put on and those drums kind of first hit, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I thought something much heavier was going to come on. And then the more melodic, like, but distant and washed out guitars hit. And I was like, oh, this is pretty interesting. So I was like, hey, what is this? She told me what it was. And then we got down to studying, so we didn't really discuss the album any longer. A friend of mine who put on a lot of the goth club nights in Philadelphia owned a CD store. So when I left my study partner that day, I went straight to his CD store. I called him in advance and I was like, hey, do you have a copy of this album? And he was like, yeah. And I said, put it aside for me. And he's like, well, you sure you don't want the one with Prey on it? That's their better known song. So I was like, no, this one, just have it ready and you will take my money when I get there.
Excellent.
The second song is A Brief Glimpse. This is definitely, out of everything on the album, this is the most percussive song on the album. The main instrument, the main focal point of this is the drums, and there are string stabs that go along with the drums to create a percussive sound on their own. The guitars on this one are really just more for accent. What were your thoughts on this?
So, you know, what we've established here is there's a series of tattoos that are now basically going to be occurring across my back, I think. And so I find myself in the grip of Ionia as the first line. And then below that from this song, the violence is so beautiful and change is good. So again, just incredibly impressive lyrics on that. I had in my notes and the same thing to say, the most percussive and kind of driving song on this. I like Ionia better. This is a very, very good song though as well, and it does do that kind of shift as well, and I thought again lyrically very, very strong.
So this is another favorite of mine. Ionia is probably tied for my favorite on this album, but it's partially because anytime that song starts, when those drums hit, I'm immediately taken back to, you know, learning and education is paramount,
which is important to you. I know that, right. that's a core of your being.
Right. So that brings us to the third track, which is titled November. This song introduces a little bit more strings being prominent in the mix. You heard some like synth pad elements on the first two tracks, but you hear more distinct strings on this one. This song to me really makes me think of like 90s movie scores, where you heard a lot of synth pads and string elements that were more electronic driven. In the 90s, this could have been the opening title for any number of shows on like the Sci-Fi Channel or something along those lines in the 90s.
So for me, and this was interesting because, so I'm a big Brian Eno fan. So from an ambient music standpoint and all that, we've kind of talked about that in past environments. But really outside of Eno, I don't do a lot. And whether it's dark ambient or goth or those types of things, I don't do much. But what I kind of came to the discovery of is when I'm in that space, I tend to prefer longer songs. And November is the shortest track on this album. It does, like you know, it has all the elements you talked about. It has almost a light gallop to it, which is kind of intriguing, but it is really kind of short. It's got a little bit of a tribal feel. it is okay. And so, as I mentioned when I started off, I enjoy this album quite a bit. If I were to pick kind of what were the at the lower end of the songs on the album, this would be one of them. There's one more coming up that kind of hangs with it. Not bad, but it just doesn't have kind of a lot of the other goodies that the other songs bring to it.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And it is, I believe it's the shortest song on the album.
Yeah, it is 2 minutes and 6 seconds.
Yeah, and most of these songs are in the 5 to 6 minute range, I believe. All right, that brings us to the fourth song on here, Fate. And this is, next to Ionia, is probably my favorite song on the album because sonically it encapsulates every element that you're going to hear, that you've heard up until this point, or you will hear afterwards. From the guitar style to the industrial style drum loops, the synth pads, the sort of ethereal distant synth pads, the washed out guitars, this sort of strange mixing where the drums are really high and the guitars are really low, which is all intentional to create this sort of ethereal, otherworldly sound to everything. So this is one that I go back to a lot. And it's one that I've even, just because it's instrumental, it's one that's good to put on kind of repeat and hear a few times. What were your thoughts?
So my first note on it was Ionia variant, because it was, and it comes to kind of what you were saying, and that it kind of starts to encapsulate what's happened so far. Yeah. So it's not a repeat of Ionia, but the spirit of Ionia kind of comes through this in kind of a different way. I do enjoy this song quite a bit. Again, echoing much of what you've already kind of talked about. I thought that, when you get into a lot of these songs, it's that kind of repeated musical phrase and that motif that kind of runs through it is always very important to the song. And I felt this was incredibly strong on this song. So I enjoyed this song quite a bit. I like Ionia a little bit better, and I had mentioned that first song guy, so Ionia might carry the day. My favorite's coming up still. It's not this one, but this is a very, very strong song.
Interesting. I'm very curious to see what your favorite is. So that brings us to Desert. What I like about this song is it has a really long fade in, which, coming off of the instrumental Fate, I thought was a really interesting, you kind of expect it to, the next song with vocals to kind of hit right away and keep going. And instead this has this sort of long, lazy, like fade in, that to me gives the song like almost this like hazy, dreamlike quality. What were your thoughts?
So, we talked a little bit about the lyric, the vocal mix and all those types of things, and not so much on delivery, but I found this song to be almost David Bowie-like in delivery, which is to me a positive. A little bit of an Eastern flavor to it. Very strong lyrics, back to the desert. Kind of conversation. So a very, very strong song. It's certainly not a parody or a replication of David Bowie, but I could see hints of how he delivered some songs in the kind of Lycia kind of way. but I did get hints of that. I enjoyed the song quite a bit, and like I said, I liked its complexity and I liked its lyrics quite a bit.
It's funny you mentioned the David Bowie thing. That's not something that I think I would have thought of, but now that you say it, I can definitely hear it.
I'm going to mention him again in a slightly different way a little bit later.
Interesting. Okay, that brings us to the sixth song, which is called Renewal. This song has the most distant and almost muffled kind of sound to it, like you're listening to the band rehearsing in the next room. And I actually thought that was kind of a cool thing, because again, the sort of strange mix and distant sounds was all intentional with this. That's a hallmark of this type of music. So that's all done intentionally. And this one, to me, takes it to its extreme on this album. What were your thoughts?
Instrumentation wise, a little bit different than what we've had so far. So that was kind of interesting to hear. I don't know if pastoral is the right way to describe it, but so I enjoyed the song quite a bit. There's a kind of a darker underpinning on most of this album. This one, it's slightly lighter to a degree. Really, really enjoyable. And it's just, again, it adds to the diversity of the album quite a bit. So I found it really interesting song. And like I said, it was just interesting because I thought tonality, it created, a momentary shift, a shift that won't last, but it's just a slight momentary shift of some pieces of it. So again, it kind of added a nice kind of differentiation to the album, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Well, speaking of when it kind of changes up a little bit, the next track, This Moment, introduces bells to the album, which we haven't heard at this point. Tonally, I would say this song doesn't really diverge much from the overall sound of the album, but with the introduction of the bells, it's almost jarring because you're not expecting to hear something sort of cut through that like murky ethereal mix that they've done, and the bells do that, and to me it gives it almost like a bigger, more epic sound than you've heard up until this point. I would say for the most part the songs are more about ambience and atmosphere, whereas this is almost like a building epic kind of thing. What did you think?
So this is the song is the song that I absolutely loved on this album. I enjoyed this album overall. I really liked Ionia. I liked everything so far. Really liked Ionia quite a bit. And then this is the one I just kind of kept coming back to and back to again. And I think part of it comes to the bells, because in my limited recollection of this kind of environment, I'm unaware of too many times when that ultimate framing element was kind of a bell-based motif through there, which runs through this thing hardcore. You get this nice kind of heartbeat beginning with percussion at the beginning, and then the bell stuff kind of kicks in with the motif. And I just found it to be an impressive set of music. And like I said, I enjoyed this album quite a bit, but when I would come back to kind of prep on it again before I'd run through everything, I jumped down to this moment. I re-listened to that again because I love this song.
Wow, I'm surprised that this was the one and it was the bells that sold you.
Well, it's the X because it is different in terms of, because I've never seen that been the kind of execution device to kind of pull that repetitive theme through there. It just hit me and I really, really enjoyed it.
Nice. So next we have two songs that I'm going to kind of talk about together, if that's okay with you, because they're part of the same. There's a part one and part two coming up, which is Monsoon 1 Anticipation and Monsoon 2 Aftermath. And
we established in the Ace review that it was okay to couple songs.
Yeah. and there's definitely there's a more literal coupling here.
Clearly,
part
yes.
one and part two. And basically what you have here is two songs that have a similar motif with a slightly different approach. One is airier and more atmospheric, and then part two gives you kind of a darker, more foreboding version of a similar musical motif and a similar tonal approach. What did you think?
So I enjoyed the anticipation far more than the aftermath in terms of going through these. I really thought, not that I dislike the aftermath, but I felt of these two together, the anticipation, Monsoon 1, was stronger than Monsoon 2 because of just what I found to be some cleverness that, at least in my mind, concepts about a monsoon coming in and anticipation, at least as I heard it sonically, I could totally see Radar and this kind of, they basically established through this kind of droning repetition at the beginning, this kind of outlook, what's coming, I'm looking, these types of things. And you really get that feel on the anticipation, which I would assume would be what they're trying to get at on the front part there. And to me, they achieved it completely on that. And so I enjoy both of these songs. Like I said, I really enjoy the anticipation, Monsoon 1, more than the aftermath, Monsoon 2. To your point, there's a continuity between the two, but there is definitely that kind of forward-looking kind of activity occurring with Monsoon 1. And I don't know, I kind of expected a little more carnage in aftermath. Then apparently it was an okay monsoon and things are okay.
Wasn't much of an aftermath.
It's more zen-like than I would have entirely anticipated. Pretty calm, great music, fantastic. They couple together really, really well. I just from a relative basis found the front part of it a lot better than the secondary part of it.
I actually like Monsoon 1 better as well. And you're right, we could have gone darker with Aftermath.
I would think. I don't know. But I said it wasn't, like I said, it's not a knock on it. But like, and part of it is like maybe just the strength of Monsoon 1. Pretty profound set of music. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. And that brings us to Grenada, the 10th song on the album. So what I like about this song is in the intro, the drums are so distant that it's almost a barely perceptible percussive noise far off in the background. And then when the actual song proper kicks in with the guitars and everything, the drums are really high in the mix the way that they have been up until this point, which gives you a good... It's only a slight variation on sort of the musical motifs in this, but it really makes you, really makes the drums in this stand out more and hit a lot harder. What did you think?
Third line on the back, tattoo wise, will be "I must incinerate." So we'll put that on. We'll put that on there. And
you're not set on your Alice Cooper tattoo yet, but you have three Lycia tattoos.
Three Lycia tattoos, because these are some pretty cool stuff. And not that, you know, obviously Alice has huge amounts of awesome stuff, but I was remarkably impressed with just the lyrical activity here. I thought it was really, really cool. It just spoke to me. I thought it was excellent. I had teased a little bit earlier that I was going to mention Bowie again. Vocal delivery on this song, I put in my notes, dark Bowie. So this is dark Bowie.
There needs to be a band called Dark Bowie.
Dark Bowie would be a fantastic band. So I think I enjoy this song quite a bit. As I mentioned before, when there are lyrics on this album, they're outstanding. This is another good example of that. Fits very much in the mood of it. Very, very good song.
All right. That brings us to the 11th track on here, The Realization. This is the first time on the album that bass guitar is really prominent in the mix. And again, just like with the bells, to me, this one sort of tweaking of the motif makes a huge difference, because you're sort of used to a certain thing going on with this. And then when the bass guitar is so prominent, you really don't see that coming. It adds an unexpected dimension to this without taking away from the overall sonic atmosphere that they've created up until this point. This also really has sort of the softest vocal delivery. We're moving away from the more like strangled, harsh whispers.
Yeah, and for me, so I enjoy this song quite a bit. There's a couple strange things that happened here, in that this felt to me like the end of the album. As this came in, it just really felt like closure to the album on this song. And we'll talk about the next song after, but it was interesting in terms of ordering that I said this felt like the close. And so on the tattoo conversation, we'll add the fourth tattoo underneath there. And then what's going to happen is there's going to be some laser removal, and we'll tack on one more here to get to the last one. But at this point, the fourth one here, "Eyes Firm in a Weakened Stare." Again, that's pretty great stuff. That is really, really, really great stuff. And like I said, the biggest thing that I enjoyed this quite a bit, it did feel to me like this should have been the last song on the album, because it kind of created a closure to the whole thing. But it's a very, very good song.
Well, that brings us to the actual final song on the album, "Distant Eastern Glare." This brings back drums that are similar to the first couple tracks, "Ionia" and "A Brief Glimpse," that harder hitting, more industrial sort of drum loop sound. What's interesting though with this track, at least for me, is the vocals are the most melodic that you've gotten until this point. Especially in the beginning, you have a really harsh, it's almost like a strangled whisper, as we've said. It's a very, it's low but harsh delivery, like a raspy sort of delivery. And this is the most melodic, almost singing along with the melody of the song for the first time really on the album. And it gives it a very different feel. And that is a little sort of taste of what's to come with the future of the band, focusing a little bit more on melody than you necessarily, whereas this is more entirely about atmosphere, this album up until this point. What did you think?
So we'll go back, as we often do, to Alice, in that there are many, many times when there would be an Alice song title that you would say, "This will be the greatest song ever." And I think "Distant Eastern Glare" is an outstanding song title. So I had high, high, high expectations going into this. This is a good song. I don't think it matches the power of its title.
I can see that.
But it is a good song. But what a fantastic title on it. And again, so I'm going to laser off all the previous Lycia lyrics. We're going to take all that off from there. And then I'm going to just go with "These Hands Melt and Disengage," which, again, I think is a very, very kind of powerful set of lyrics on that. It's a very haunting song. I know it's a weirdness on my part. I would have flipped the realization in Distant Eastern Glare on this album, just in terms of the flow. But it is, to your point, there's a difference in what happens here, kind of on the vocal delivery, that is not consistent with anything else that's happened, not in a bad way, but just not consistent with what's happened the rest of the album so far. A very good song as well. Overall, just kind of a haunting, kind of interesting song, and a very reasonable way to end the album. It just, like I said, my personal preference is the realization felt like the right close.
So overall, you enjoyed it then?
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, I'll this moment is on high repetition on all audio devices, because I love that song. But and except this is something I had zero exposure to at all. I had to kind of block from my memory the backstory of this for you,
Yeah. So for anybody listening to this, I did share previous to us recording this, I did explain to Kelly how I came across this album.
So that was a problem, because I had to kind of block out Mike studying as I went vigorous study. But I can see that. While I tremendously love the song, I'm really not sure that this moment is ideal study material versus, but that's just me.
Well, so here's the thing. I feel like you have some homework now.
Okay.
Go try and study along this and then report back to the squatties.
All right. Well, we'll take that under consideration.
So you heard it here first, people. Kelly's going to get a Lycia tattoo and vigorously study along to this album and report back to all of us in graphic detail what he learned.
Fake news, folks. Fake news. Excellent. So, hey, I'm liking how this is playing out, because we're getting some chances. And what I'm actually very excited about is there's a very good chance that the next time Mike and I come in to do Prisoner Exchange, we're going to be working on a recommendation. It'll be from our good friend Mel, my partner on Nurture and Support. We'll be doing that review. And the game plan right now, we'll see if it adjusts, but I believe the game plan right now is Mike and I will do the review, and then we're going to share that with Mel, provide her an opportunity to provide a rebuttal, put all of that together, and you're going to get that as kind of the next Prisoner Exchange on Squat Cobbler. But this continues to work out really well. So again, I declare this fun. I forgot to declare the last one fun, but
was Ace not fun?
Ace was fun. Retroactive Ace was fun. Lycia was fun. I don't have anything else to add except thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, and to what Kelly said, I hope you guys come back and listen to the Mel review. Make your own suggestions for reviews. And I promise you, when we do our next Prisoner Exchange where we're choosing the albums, I am going to not only push Kelly the furthest that I have so far, a lot of you are going to be mad that we review this album. Have a great night, everybody.
Oh, great. Thanks, everybody.
All right, I'm going to stop the broadcast.